This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited to introduce to you from the great state of Texas, Donald Brown. Here's Donald.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, I want to thank God for each one of you here from BPN Radio. We want to, again, thank Pastor Dale and his wonderful wife, Jean, for their graciousness in allowing us to minister here at BPN Radio. We started a series on killing sin a few weeks ago. I believe that with the season and the times that we are going through now, I felt a leading from the Lord to begin to minister on killing sin. So today, I want to compel you to get this series that we are doing. Last week, we ministered on believing together. For those of you that want to get this series, you can contact Rick Gentry at bpnradio@gmail.com, or you can call him at 214-918-8707. And today I want to kind of make an amendment on the first message that I ministered 2 weeks ago on killing sin. I want to use this today as a subject, kill sin by the Spirit. Now, this will be the second message on killing sin. For the first part was killing sin, and this is the final part, killing sin with the Word of God. And in saying that, just to kind of back up a little bit, the verses 12 and 13 out of Romans saying, "So then, brethren," and the "so then" follows from the glorious truth in verse 11, that our mortal bodies are going to be raised from the dead and made alive by the Spirit of God, so that we can enjoy God forever as He created us to be, body and soul. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, that old rebellious self, but to live according to the flesh. Now, you have to understand that you don't owe the flesh anything but enmity. Or, in other words, when we understand that you don't owe the flesh anything but positive hatred, which may be often or may be open or conceal or strong prejudice in war. So, it's been trying to kill you since the day you were born. But don't join forces with your enemy and pay for your own destruction by giving in to the flesh. You are not a debtor to the flesh. You don't owe the flesh anything. You owe the Spirit of God everything. Now, Paul continues in verse 13. He says, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Again, you don't owe the flesh anything, but you owe the Spirit of God everything. See, he's going to make you alive in the resurrection according to verse 11. And even now, you can only have victory over your sins by the Spirit. So, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Again, we understand that you owe your final resurrection life to the Spirit and the preservance you need to make it to the resurrection as a believer in war with sin. You owe to the Spirit. And if you try to survive as a Christian in any other way than by the Spirit, you will not survive. you will die. What I tried to show that the last time is that this threat is real and the demand to fight is all important. Until you believe that life is war, that the stakes are your soul, you'll probably just play at Christianity with no blood earnestness and no vigilance and no passion and no wartime mindset. And if that is where you are, your position is very dependent on chance, circumstance, unknown conditions, or uncertain developments. You see, the enemy has lulled you into sleep or into a peacetime mentality as if nothing serious is at stake. And God, in his mercy, has you here today and had this sermon appointed to wake you up and put you on a wartime footing. You see, in Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and violent men take it by force." So, do you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? Take it violently? But violence against whom? Or against what? Listen to Jesus' answer. He says that if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into the eternal fire, according to Matthew 8 and 18. So the question is, do you want to enter life? Take it violently. Cut off your hand or your foot if you must to keep from stumbling. You see, it's a picture of the most radical kind of assault on our own sin, not the sins of others, our sins. Lay that on top of Romans 8 and 13, says that if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So the question, do you want to enter into life? Do you want to live? Then get violent. Get a wartime mindset. Stop making peace with ears and eyes, tongues, hands, and feet that betray you like Judas. Go over to the side of the enemy and become instruments of sin and make war on your soul. Put to death the deeds of your body. You see, the violent warfare of the Christian life, I remember a story by I read that about Ed Welch in preparation for his book called A Banquet in the Grave. And he said that there's a mean streak to authentic self-control. He said that self-control is not for the timid. When we want to grow in it, not only do we nurture an exuberance for Jesus Christ, we also demand of ourselves a hatred for sin. The only possible attitude toward out-of-control desires is a declaration of all-out war. You see, there is something about war that sharpens the senses. You hear a twig snap or the rustling of leaves, and you are in attack mode. Someone coughs, and you are ready to pull the trigger. Even after days of little or no sleep, war keeps us vigilant. There's a mean, violent streak in the true Christian life, but violence against whom or what? Not other people. It's a violence against all the impulses in us that would be violent to other people. It's a violence against all the impulses in ourselves that would make peace with our own sin and settle in with a peacetime mentality. It's a violence against all lust in ourselves and enslaving desires for food or caffeine or sugar, chocolate or alcohol, pornography or money, or the praise of men and the approval of others or power or fame. It's violence against the impulses in our own soul toward racism and sluggish indifference to injustice and poverty and abortion. You see, Christianity is not a settle in and live at peace with this world the way it is kind of religion. By the Spirit you kill the deeds of your own body, you will live. Christianity is war on our own sinful impulses. So let's work on this a little bit more today. Now, I said that there were three questions 2 weeks ago that we didn't get to. What are the deeds of the body that we ought to put to death? What does killing them mean? What is this putting to death? How do you do it? By the Spirit. What does by the Spirit mean? Well, what are the deeds of the body that we ought to kill? Now, Paul is picking up here on what we had said already in Romans 6. So let's go back there with me and let's remind ourselves of a few things. Take three verses to shed light on Romans 8 and 13. First, in Romans 6 and 13, Paul says, "Do not present your members, your bodies, to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness." So, what then are the deeds of the body that we are to kill? They are those deeds that we are about to do. You kill them before they happen, when our bodies are instruments of unrighteousness. And second, Romans 6 and 12, Paul says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust." You see, when the mortal body is taken captive by sin and made to obey lust, then and there we see deeds of the body that should be put to death. And third, in Romans 6 and 6, Paul says that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Now, I cite this verse to remind you of the all-important, distinctively Christian truth about killing the sinful actions of the body, namely, in union with Christ by faith alone, you are already dead to sin and alive to God. And what you are doing when you put to death the deeds of the body is becoming in practice what you are in Christ. Our old self was crucified in order that our body of sin might be done away with. When Christ died, we died in him. If we are united to him by faith, and we died with him so that we might demonstrate this death by putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. Because we already have the victory, we can succeed in our violence against sin. He breaks the power of canceled sin. We can only kill the sin that has already been killed when we were killed in Christ. This is Christianity, not moral self-improvement. So the answer to the first question, what are the deeds of the body in Romans 8 and 13, is deeds that we are about to do prompt by sin or lust or unrighteousness. Sin is deeper than deeds. The deeds are the instrument of the sin. And when that is what our bodies are about to do, go over to the side of the enemy, we put that action to death. In this war with ourselves, traitors are put to death. What is the putting to death? Well, the answer is that you suffocate the sinful deeds of the body. You cut off the lifeline, the blood flow. Deeds of the body come from somewhere. Jesus said the things that proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hand doesn't defile the man, according to Matthew 15, 18 and 20 through 20. You see, sinful deeds have a lifeline that must be cut. You see, you kill the bad fruit by serving the bad root. In other words, there is a condition of the heart that gives rise to the deeds of the body. It's a heart issue. We must cut off the hands and gouge out the eyes. Not literally that would do no good, but with that kind of violent heart work, you kill the bad fruit by severing the bad root. What's the bad root of the deeds of the body? You can see it in Romans 8 and 7. The mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it doesn't subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. See, the root of the deeds of the body that have to be killed is the flesh that is hostile to God and unwilling and unable to submit to him. And verse 12 says that if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. Flesh is the great enemy here, and it's an enemy because it is insubordinate and hostile to God. It doesn't like God and doesn't want to be told by him what to do. So to kill the deeds of the body, this is enmity produces you have to cut the lifeline, pinch the air pipe, stop the blood flow. You see, deeds must be killed before they happen by serving or cutting off the root of hostility and insubordination that rejects God. Now, third, how do you do this by the Spirit? Well, let's get an answer by following several steps, each with a different text. Step one, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Now notice in Romans 8, 5 through 6, how Paul speaks there of the flesh and the Spirit, the same pair he contrasts here in verse 13. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. It says that for the mind set on the flesh is death, as verse 13 says. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, as the last part of verse 13 says. So the first step in the answer is this: putting to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit involves setting the mind on the things of the Spirit. You don't just look at the temptation and say no. You do that. But if you are going to put it to death by the Spirit, you have to do more. You direct your mind, your heart, your spiritual focus in another way, namely to the things of the Spirit. Step two, set your mind on the words of God and the realities they stand for. Well, what are they? The things of the Spirit. You see, if we're going to rivet our minds and hearts on them in the hour of temptation so as to kill the sin, what are we looking at? Well, here the key text is 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14, where Paul talks about his own teachings as God-inspired words. You see, this is the only other place in the New Testament where the very phrase, things of the Spirit, is used. He speaks of his revelation like this: which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. But a natural man doesn't accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So here are the things of the Spirit, are the words of God spoken by the apostle. From this, I infer that when Romans 8:6 says that those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, he means that they set their minds on the words of God and the realities they stand for. These are the things of the Spirit that the natural person rejects and the spiritual person embraces. So to put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit is to set your mind on the things of the Spirit, which we now see means embracing the words of God and the realities they point to, spoken by his inspired spokesman. You see, this is especially significant because the word of God is called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6 and 17. And swords are used for killing. And that is what we are to do by the Spirit in Romans 8 and 13. Kill the deeds of the body by the Spirit, that is by fixing your mind on the things of the Spirit, that is by welcoming and embracing the Word of God in your mind and heart, that is by taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the deadly sword for killing sin. Third, by hearing with faith, not works of the law. You see, very practically, what do you do to bring the power of the Spirit by the word of God into vicarious sin-killing action? The answer is clear in Galatians 3 and 5. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? You see, the answer is that the Spirit is supplied to us for the miraculously mighty killing of sin, not by works of the law, but by hearing with faith. You see, the sword of the Spirit helps us kill sin. Now, why does Paul say by hearing with faith instead of just by faith? Well, to emphasize that what faith hears and receives and embraces is something heard, namely the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which kills sin. How does that do it? Well, let's say that for a whole sermon when I come back. But we are not left helpless today. What we are saying is that when temptation comes, alongside a very powerful and resolute no, you look to a word from God, especially a word that promised he will be more for us and do more for us than what this sin promises. And if you believe him, there is the main battle you will serve at the root of sin. So immerse your mind and heart in the fountain of truth and life and power, the promises of God, and when the temptation comes, take this all-satisfying word, the sword of the Spirit, and believe it. And by it, serve the root of sin. Kill it. Let us pray. Father, bless us and protect us. Let your face, Father, radiate with joy because of you. May you be gracious to us and show us your favor. Give us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You've been listening to Donald Brown today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. Sure appreciate everybody listening today. Thank you.